Stress. It's a word that seems to go hand in hand with being a business owner. How we handle or don't handle stress can make or break our business, our relationships, and ultimately it can make or break us as a person.
You're listening to Not Another Business Show, inspiring entrepreneurs to think smart, not small. Brought to you by Daunted to Done, your virtual project manager.
Most of us, our day is we wake up in a rectangular bed. We've been in our square house. We get into our rectangle car. We travel into the office underground, and that's a square within a square within a square. And we're often in a box, our office. We sit in front of a small box, which is a computer screen, and we are in air conditioning. The sunlight doesn't touch us. The natural air doesn't touch us. Lunchtime comes and we go out and we get our lunch in a lunchbox, and then we get back into our little rectangle and we drive back home in our box, and we probably heat our food in a box and we sit in front of the box, and then the day starts again after we sleep in our rectangle. You know, there is no boxes in nature.
Not Another Business Show is brought to you by Daunted to Done, your virtual project manager. To implement and execute your business ideas, you need Daunted to Done.
Stacey DeMarco makes our everyday lives sound just a little bit crazy, but it's true, isn't it? Our lives have, for the most part, developed this unnatural rhythm of bouncing from one square to the next, with many of us rarely seeing sunlight or getting outside. I've had times in this business when I've realized that I haven't actually been outside all day. I've made it from my bedroom in the morning to the kitchen for coffee, then into my office where I've sat in front of my computer for hours on end. It's when I do this for a few days in a row that I begin to feel the toll it's taking on me. I don't move enough, I don't eat well, I don't interact with people. I just sit, stare at my computer, and get stuff done. The concept for today's episode came about from a conversation I overheard when I was sitting at a cafe. There were a table of six business people off to my right talking about the struggles each of them were facing in their businesses. Now, one was saying that she hadn't seen her kids play sport all season. One was stressing about meeting this month's business expenses. And another proclaimed that he'd worked the last 21 days straight to meet a customer deadline. As the conversation continued, all I could hear was stress. None of these people sounded like they were taking any joy from their business, and I wondered what it is that causes us all to get caught in this treadmill of work harder, work longer, even when we know we have become disconnected from the things that give us real pleasure. Sitting in that cafe, all I wanted to do was shout at them all to step away from their laptops and disconnect for a week or so. It's so easy to notice the places where people are making poor choices in their lives. But when it comes to noticing it in our lives, well, that can be more of a challenge. This year, I made a pact with myself to become more aware of my stress and put some small, incremental changes in place to amend what I've been doing. I came to realize that I've been doing what I counsel others not to, work harder or longer hours as a way to make the business more successful. So I wanted to explore this idea of why we push ourselves to work longer hours, to force ourselves to keep working when we just know we really should be taking a break. Bernadette Blake from Be Empowered Now believes it's because we are all in a hurry to have everything we want right now.
We want to have it all and we want it now. So there's so many different things that we want and only 24 hours in a day. So how do we actually fit it all in? Like, we've got a lot of roles that we play in our life. We're a partner, a son or a daughter, a parent, a friend. We have hobbies. We take care of our health and well-being. Our spirituality, we want time out for fun, to be part of a community, and we're either an employee or a business owner, and we want to actually fit that all in.
For a lot of us, it's not just about being a business owner or trying to create a successful business that will support our lifestyle and provide for our family. The stress comes into play when we try to be superhuman. When we try to be the perfect business owner, wife, husband, mother, father, son, daughter, when we feel as though we need to be available to our customers, to our friends, to our kids, their school, after-school activities, we want to be able to do everything for everyone and have a successful business. Before you know it, it feels as though the entire world is wanting a piece of you. And, well, sometimes there are just no pieces left. The enjoyment we once felt for our business begins to wane and we find ourselves becoming resentful at all the things we have to do. This leads to our stress levels increasing and then that cycle ramping up and repeating. At its simplest level, it's about us as business owners making choices.
If you enjoy what you do and how you spend your time, then you'll feel happy and fulfilled. And if not, you'll feel stressed and unhappy. So it's up to you to make those choices about what's important to you and take responsibility for those choices.
I agree with Bernadette, in principle. Sometimes, though, it's just tough to draw a line. A lot of us in our own small businesses just feel
guilty. So they feel guilty when they're at work and feel like they should be spending more time with their kids. And then when they're with their children, they feel like they should be working. They should be replying to emails or working on their upcoming project. And that sort of feels like a no-win situation.
Exactly. I know I've had times where I've been on a roller coaster of guilt and stress. The I should have kicked in and I'm blaming and shaming myself for my choices. Now, we all know this isn't a healthy way to live and the impacts that it can have on us can be more than just emotionally draining. Bernadette told me it comes back to that old concept of balance.
If you don't get that balance between your work and your personal life, particularly to have that downtime to rest, you can often get health problems. So that can be emotional problems like stress, burnout, feeling anxious or depressed, not sleeping, and also physical health problems like chronic pain, illness, weight problems. The second problem is if you're not feeling your best, if you're not thinking clearly, you can make bad decisions and make a lot of mistakes. And that can have a really big negative impact on your work and your personal life. And the third problem is that your relationships can suffer. So you can end up alone and unhappy. If you're putting all your energy and time into your business and, you know, you forget to have time out to spend with your loved ones, then you may find you've got no one to go back to. So it's important to have all of those three things in balance or you can end up with very big problems. It's a sort of a balancing act, I guess, getting it all together.
This whole concept of balance is not new. We've discussed it before and I'm sure we'll discuss it again. Stacey mentioned at the start of the show how out of balance as a society we all are. Nature will always try to find balance. Yet as humans, we think we can create something better than nature. Surely we're smarter than nature, and so we try to find ways that we can rort the system. It was interesting to me as I was doing my research for this show and chatting to business owners around stress. They are all telling me how normal it is for them to live with constant feelings of stress. I heard stories that ranged from people having constant headaches to people who had difficulty sleeping. Anyone else had that waking up at 2 a.m. remembering an email that you haven't sent? Or my personal demon, the neck and shoulder aches from spending too much time in front of the computer. Talking this through with Bernadette, she kind of gave one of those, you know, knowing sighs, and then went on this passionate rant about how being stressed out is not a normal way for our bodies to live.
I think the first thing is that we need to believe that being healthy is the normal. Most of us believe that being unhealthy and stressed is the normal, and it's not normal. So, I mean, one of the things that really makes us listen to our body is physical pain. Well, once we get the headache, the backache, the sore shoulders and neck from hunching over your work desk or whatever, the physical pain, you know, is a pretty strong sign that, hey, you're not treating your body very well. Something's out of balance. You need to listen to yourself. But often what we do when we get physical pain, just like they tell us on television on the ads for Panadol, you know, oh, I don't have time for a headache. I just take a Panadol or a Nurofen and then, you know, I get straight back to work again.
We've all been guilty of that one. In fact, just the last 2 days I lived on Nurofen, water and too much sugar to get me through a conference. One where I was indoors, sitting from 9 through to 5, rarely seeing sunshine and certainly not moving anywhere near like my body needed to. But I got the sense that Bernadette wasn't finished there.
I mean, every now and again, yes, you do need to do that. But if you've got pain, that pain is there for a reason. Either because you're mentally or physically exhausted, or you've been, your posture has been really bad. Maybe you've been slumping over or not sitting up straight, or you're sitting for too long without standing up and exercising. So physical pain is a sign that something's not right.
I have spent a lot of my life personally studying health and wellness, but you don't need degrees to get that physical pain is a way for our bodies to say, hey, you, this isn't right. You need to do something about this. But Bernadette is a passionate woman. She wasn't done making her point.
Also, there's other really obvious signs like not being able to sleep at night. If you can't switch your mind off so that you can sleep at night, then that tells you something's out of balance too, that you're either pushing yourself too hard to exhaustion, or you don't know how to switch off from your work or to switch off even from your personal life. Just feeling tired, just notice.
For me, sleep is not an issue. But I dream a lot, mostly about work. Some would say that that's my subconscious processing everything going on, while others would probably tell me that I just don't have a life. So I get it. Stress impacts everyone differently. Bernadette didn't even begin to get into stress increasing blood pressure, affecting our cardiovascular system, or the fact that it lowers our immune system. Nor did she get into the other health impacts of the sedentary lifestyle that many of us live spending our days in front of a computer. And quite honestly, the physical health impacts of business ownership, well, that warrants a show on its own. But it was in talking to my experts that I really realized just how much stress impacts each of us in our own unique ways. Even our resident Mr. Nice Guy, Andrew Griffiths, has his struggles with stress.
For me, you know, my state of mind and my sense of mental well-being, that's the canary in the cage. When I'm stressed out, exhausted, tired, anxious, upset, emotional, you know, whatever it might be, they're all the things that then have that flow on effect. You know, when I'm feeling fried and stressed out and frightened or worried about something, then I don't exercise, I don't eat well.
Now, don't ask me why, but I was under some kind of illusion that after I achieved a certain level of success, then I wouldn't have the challenges of stress hanging around. Speaking to my experts, though, I've come to realize that stress is always something we need to be mindful of. It morphs and changes depending on where we are at in our business journey, but is one of our constant companions. Even for Fiona Cosgrove, who is the founder of Wellness Coaching Australia, a published author, television presenter. Well, you'd think if anyone was going to have it all together around work and stress, it'd be Australia's leading wellness coach, right? Turns out that even those in the health and wellness sector are not immune from stress. She coaches people every day on their own wellness journeys. But when I asked her how she copes with stress,
I'd love to be able to answer, well, I just do it just like that. Sometimes I don't think I do it. I think that we teach best what we most need to learn. And I think I've been lucky enough to be able to be studying this area for long enough to know where I have my own sort of pitfalls. We're all different personality types. Some people thrive on pressure, I guess, and I need a certain degree of challenge to get my energy high. But I also know that I can go a little bit too far sometimes.
I guess it's time to stop believing successful people have it all figured out. It seems Andrew is human, Fiona is human. We all struggle with stress. We all struggle with maintaining wellness, and we all struggle with what we need to do, what we have to do, and what we'd like to do. When it comes to ways of making us feel better or relieving stress, I personally think that marketing and advertising have a lot to answer for. They sell us this dream of taking time out with a chocolate bar that will change the colour of our day, or that buying the latest luxury item will suddenly allow our stresses to just melt away. Fiona made an interesting reflection on becoming better aware of what it is that makes us, not the marketing companies, feel good.
I think that's one of the biggest problems is that people walk around now with this glossy idea of the way we should be presenting to the outside world without taking time to stopping and saying, how do we actually want to present to ourselves? Because owning the Jeep or owning whatever it happens to be isn't necessarily going to make us feel good about ourselves.
Just being able to tap into our own knowing and listen to what makes us feel good can go a long way to help us identifying how we can first recognize stress and then identify ways in which we can release some of the stress and make ourselves feel better for it. And for me, knowing that everyone has their own battle with stress instantly made me feel better. It's also why big brands make so much money out of us. They sell the magic pill or the quick answer that will solve our ills. For a lot of us, this in itself can be a challenge. I mean, we'd all love a quick solution, a way to make our stress disappear permanently. The very marketing that we've discussed in previous shows that we need to master as small business owners to create our success can add to our stresses when we've not identified a strategy to deal with it. Often our own unique stress triggers are beliefs or values that we've inherited growing up. But once we make the commitment to start down the road of tuning in, listening to what it is that we really want, we can find ourselves releasing some old belief patterns and making huge changes for the better.
And it's so individual too. And I think that what you said there about this idea of what you've been told as a child or what your shoulds are in your head, what your introjected belief system will really change the way you view your own world, your own behavior, and usually everybody else's.
Now, I know I may have crossed a line into the land of woo-woo for some of you here, but hang in there with me. If it all begins with being able to tune in and listen to signs from your body that you're feeling stressed or you need a break, then I wanted to be able to provide a practical strategy, a way for anyone who's thinking, I have no idea where to start with this. And it doesn't need to be all hippie, all peace, love and mung beans. In fact, the strategy for Andrew Griffiths started out as simply as treating himself kindly.
Isn't it funny? I think for, and I'm sure everyone else must say the same thing, it's in some respects, it's the hardest part of life is maintaining that balance. I think for me, the biggest thing that I've worked out in the last few years, it means not being stressed out all the time. It means not being exhausted. It means treating myself kindly. and that's taking extra time to do the things that I need to do and eating better and just enjoying my life a lot more. Mostly I always start with my mental well-being, that I want to take care of my, you know, how my head is and how my brain is, and that means plenty of sleep, plenty of rest, not exhausting myself, doing the things that I love, spending time for me outdoors, doing all those kind of things is where I start. And I find then the more of that I do, everything else naturally follows. I naturally eat better. I naturally exercise more. I naturally feel better if my head's right. But if I don't get the head right, nothing else seems to work.
I know personally there are a few things I can schedule into my day to make sure I'm getting breaks from the computer and keeping my head in the game. I take 10 or 15 minutes every couple of hours to just play with Obi, my dog. And getting back to what Stacey was saying at the start of the show, I leave my little square room and the square screen of my laptop and I go outside. Even if it's just in my own backyard, I take my shoes off and I stand on the grass. Now, there are a stack of proven medical reasons why earthing or grounding is good for you. From reducing stress to moderating your heartbeat to changing the electrical activity in your brain. Going barefoot on the grass and squishing your toes just has a way of making me feel better. It brings me back to the present moment and allows me a few minutes to appreciate the sun on my face, the breeze, the coolness of the earth. In that moment, I am practicing mindfulness. But I'm going to let Bernadette explain a bit more about what mindfulness actually is.
When your mind is always somewhere else and you're not in the present, it's hard for you to enjoy your life and feel happy. Because when you're not in the present and your mind's elsewhere, that takes a lot of your energy and a lot of your focus. So if you can learn to be in the present and focus on what you're doing right here, right now, and actually enjoy that, that's where you're going to do your best work and be your most productive and also really enjoy the time that you've got with your family. Because if you're not in the present, you're either having regrets or worries about the past or you're worrying about the future. And both of those things create stress. So if you can be present, focus on what you're doing and enjoy that, then you'll be so much happier and a lot of that guilt will go.
So basically, mindfulness is the practice of focusing on the present moment. The practice I mentioned a few moments ago about going barefoot on the grass and feeling the earth beneath your feet, it's a mindfulness technique. Mindfulness can and should be practiced anywhere at any time. If you are eating, it is bringing your attention to what you are eating, really noticing the textures of the food, the way it feels in your mouth and as you swallow, the temperature, the flavors, really just bringing all of your attention to bear on that one task that you are doing right now. Bernadette also had some other great strategies for helping us to disconnect or unwind from our business a little, to purposefully choose to remove some of the stress and create some space for the work juices to start flowing again.
The number one thing I say is you have to make self-care your top priority. Things like eating well, sleeping well, having breaks through the day, time with your loved ones, time to do nothing. You need to see it as a positive thing, because when you have that, you'll have more energy, you'll be healthier, you'll be more focused and more productive in the time that you are working, as well as enjoying the time that you have with your family. The second thing is actually to list your priorities. So set aside a block of a couple of hours every few months to write down your goals and list your priorities. So you need to write down the things that you're going to say yes to over the next few months and the things that you're going to say no to as well, so you get the important things done. So we can't say yes to everything or we'd never sleep.
The whole concept of self-care as a number one priority is something I want to do an entire future show on, but learning to take time out for yourself away from the business is something that I hope after this show, a few more will look at as a good idea. I know myself though, for a long time, I wondered about the effectiveness of writing down goals and things. That was until years ago, before I even left my corporate job. I took some time to create a vision board. Now, it had loads of pictures on it of coffee and cafes and travels. Well, it obviously imprinted something, because less than 18 months later, I'd started the coffee business and was traveling all over Queensland seeing clients. So now I'm a big fan of goal setting and prioritising activities.
The next thing is to actually schedule some time in your diary for your top priorities, or it's not going to happen. So get a big diary and schedule as much as you can. So schedule your work time and schedule time with your loved ones. Schedule that time for exercise, for self-care, and for the other things that are important to you. Write in things like your kids' parent-teacher night or their basketball game or whatever else, you know, you need to add in. And then if you let your loved ones see your diary, then they know where you're at and they know that you've scheduled in their important events as well. They'll know, you know, that even though you're busy, that you're still making time for them and that you're really important to them. Number four is make some important decisions in conjunction with your loved ones. So let them know what your intentions are and include them in the decision-making process. So that way you'll still have family and friends to go back to once this whole setting up your business thing is over. You don't want to get so focused on work that you neglect everything else in your life.
Scheduling is something that once upon a time made my skin crawl. I was convinced I was way too spontaneous to be hemmed in by a schedule. And I have to admit, I still have moments where I rebel against the pretty colours in my calendar telling me when I need to be doing different things. But here's the weird thing. I notice that when I schedule things in my calendar and I forced myself to stick to it, I became more productive. Knowing that you only have an hour to knock out that piece of work has a way of making you focus and avoid distractions. Also, scheduling in your breaks and times when you can get to go out and do fun things, for me that's date night with my partner, somehow gets my brain to a place where I actually give myself permission to not think about work. It's also been proven that scheduling allows our brain to let go of those menial hundreds of tasks that we hold on to. Effectively, what it means is that once you get used to writing everything down and scheduling everything, your brain gives itself permission to shut down all those open browser tabs and become more creative, more focused, and more productive.
Delegate. So let go of the need to do everything yourself. You can outsource some tasks if you can afford to do that. For example, you can get a virtual assistant to help you with a lot of the admin side of things, or hire a website designer or whatever else you need, so that you can focus on the things that you're best at in your business and let other people take care of the rest. I always tell people you must listen to your body and your mind so that you know when you need to stop and have a break. There's no point in pushing yourself to exhaustion or burnout, because then you're going to get those problems, the physical health problems, the emotional problems. You're not going to be effective. You're going to make mistakes. As I mentioned before, being present. So focus on what you're doing right now. So when you're focused on the past or the future, that's when the fears, the regrets, the worries come up, and that drains a lot of your energy and it stops you enjoying whatever you're doing at that moment. Find a way to switch off from work. So that's really, really important so you can be relaxed and have that quality time with your loved ones. So if you can't have the quantity that you want, you need that quality time. And to have that quality time, that means being present with them instead of thinking about work when you're with them. So that way they'll feel that, you know, you are connected with them and they really appreciate that. So it can help to try a lot of different things to see what actually helps you switch off from work at the end of the day. It's just so important so that you can have that quality time. I mean, maybe for you, you need to go and do a workout at the gym, or go for a walk and get some fresh air, or meditate, or just do something simple like having a shower and changing your clothes, or doing some yoga.
I love the delegate idea. I think I've been delegating stuff since I was able to speak, so I sure don't have any issues with that one. In fact, it's what my Daunted to Done business is all about, helping people figure out what their everyday operational tasks are, then helping them to delegate them so they can get on with their high-value activities and doing what they love. And learning to switch off. That's probably my game changer. We all need to find ways where we can just switch off and give ourselves and our brains a rest. So I wanted to explore that one a little more, come up with some strategies that we can all use to help us in this quest for de-stressing and switching off. The first couple of things that Bernadette shared are specifically for those of us who work from home.
One of the things that I do is I've got my separate office at home. So when I'm not working, I'm not in my office. I walk out of the office and close the door. That can be one thing that helps. I've had some other clients tell me they do things like in the morning when they're getting ready to do their work, they get dressed in their good clothes as if they're going to work so that they're not sitting around the house in their tracksuit while they're doing their work. And while they're in their good clothes, they're focusing on their work and they're not thinking about doing housework or doing other things. It's about helping yourself get in that mindset of when are you working and when are you not working. So then at the end of the day, when their work's finished, they get changed out of those clothes into their tracky pants or whatever they like to wear when they're not working.
That's great. Although I must say, one of the things I love about working from home, for me anyway, is that I can stay in my PJs if I want to, or my trackies. There's no need for makeup or to get dressed up. But I do love the one about pulling the door closed. That's one I use. I don't bring my laptop out of my office, and when I'm not working, the door is closed. But what about those of us who aren't working from home?
Other people sit down and do some meditation, or they go and do a workout. It's about really finding what works for you. Again, that goes back to what are your priorities, making a list of your priorities and then scheduling your work around that. Often we try to schedule our personal life around our work. So we make our work our number one priority, and if we've got any time left over, then we'll have a personal life. But it doesn't work.
A lot of our experts that I've spoken to use exercise as their de-stressor. They go for a run, they hit the gym. The number of times I've heard people tell me that they get their best ideas for their business when they're on a run amazes me. For me, it's yoga. It's meditating or it's going for a walk. I now have scheduled into my calendar 3 yoga sessions throughout my week where I stop for 1 hour during my working day and take time out for me. In my opinion, we all need to make more time to get back out and reconnect with nature. Many of us have crazy sleep patterns just because we're constantly staring at screens. The evidence around blue light affecting our circadian or sleep cycle patterns is indisputable. There are entire businesses now in the USA that take stressed out business owners into the bush for 2 weeks of camping just to reset their brains for correct sleep. And the byproduct is they get so distracted and disconnected that they learn new ways to manage their stress in nature. Whatever it is, what I've come to realize is that you have to find your thing. When I chatted about this with Andrew Griffiths, he made an interesting connection about it also coming down to the people that you hang out with.
Funnily enough, the healthiest I've been in my life physically was when I had a lot of friends that were personal trainers. Now, that happened just strangely and by default, but all of a sudden I'm spending weekends and time with a pile of active, you know, engaged, loving life kind of people, and you can't help but become a part of that. And I thought it was a really interesting little experience for me those few years, in particular where I was with them, simply because I saw, wow, imagine the same thing happens when you're spending time with people that are perhaps not like that, that reflects your life. So, yeah, it's very much about who you spend your time with. Lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas.
Now, Andrew does have a way about him, doesn't he? Lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. It goes back to what we talked about in an earlier episode, though. A lot of who we allow ourselves to become is because of the people that we are associating with. The next thing I hear people saying is that they just don't have time to switch off. Everything relies on me. I've got to be on this 24/7. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. So if they haven't already figured out from Bernadette's list of how to make managing stress a priority, what would Andrew, who, by the way, is one of the busiest people I've ever met, say to these people?
Who's got the time to do it? None of us have got the time to do it, but you've got to treat it as a priority. You know, it's doing the things that I know that keep me mentally well. You know, it's spending time out at the Great Barrier Reef, going diving, you know, making those a priority, not something that I'll do when I get the time, because I know myself well enough to know that if I don't schedule them as a priority, I won't do them. That to me, you know, all of that is this wonderful investment backing yourself. And I've been down the other road where all of a sudden 20 years go by and you haven't actually invested a lot in yourself. And then you kind of got to pick up the pieces that are left there. So it's a vital thing for me. How am I feeling? That checking in is every day. How am I feeling? What am I worried about? What am I stressed about? You know, whatever it might be.
So there you go. For anyone who is hanging on to that thread of utter self-importance that I can't possibly make time, pivot your thinking and maybe try looking at switching off and de-stressing as an investment in yourself and your business. I'm going to give the final word this week to Bernadette Blake. When we were chatting, I asked her if she could share a quick 1 to 2 minute mindfulness meditation with us as a way of winding down the episode and switching off a little. So find yourself a comfy space, put everything else down or out of your mind for just the next few moments, unless of course you're driving a car or operating heavy machinery, in which case come back to this bit and do it a little later. And just allow yourself a few moments to just be. Before I leave you with Bernadette, a huge thanks to my experts, Bernadette Blake from Be Empowered Now, Australia's number one small business author and all-round Mr. Nice Guy, Andrew Griffiths, Fiona Cosgrove from Wellness Coaching Australia, and the modern witch and nature luster, Stacey DeMarco. The biggest thanks, as always, though, to you for listening in. If you've been enjoying these shows, please do take a moment to review it on iTunes or Stitcher and share the show with your friends. Our community is growing each and every week, and I love hearing from you all. Join in the conversation on Twitter at @NABS_podcast or Facebook, Not Another Business Show. And don't forget to download this week's template, The 7 Ways to Switch Off and De-Stress. Till next week, in the words of Hans Selye, the first man to demonstrate the effects of biological stress, it's not the stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it.
Okay, so this is just a quick 1 or 2 minute mindfulness meditation. So it really helps you relax and release your stress and worry. And you can do this meditation anywhere, anytime. So to start off, just sit up straight and put both of your feet on the floor. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in, and as you exhale, give a big sigh to release all the stress and tension. And we'll do that again. Take another deep breath in, and a big sigh out to release all the tension. Be aware of the pressure of your bottom on the chair. Notice where your back touches against the chair. Notice if there's any tension in your jaw and release it. Notice the touch of your clothes on your skin. Notice the temperature of the air on your hands and your face. Be aware of your breathing. Is it shallow or is it deep? Be aware of what sounds you can hear around you right now. Open your eyes now and just notice if you feel more relaxed and peaceful.